Greetings and welcome to this 360 with Ohio State podcast as we continue along with the fine coaches at the Ohio State University. Today, it's men's lacrosse coach Nick Myers joining us. And coach, we appreciate some time. I know it's a busy season as we get started in your spring season, although it's only the end of January as we record this. But you're in your 16th year as the Buckeye men's lacrosse coach. Can you give us an idea of what's going through your mind as you get ready to enter the start officially of this year?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you, and it's great to be talking about Buckeye lacrosse. I think for me, as you said, been very fortunate. This is actually year 21. I had the 5 years as an assistant coach and certainly just been really fortunate to be in the department as long as I have. And just with incredible people. You know, as Coach Hayes said, you win with people. And that's one of the first things I think of when I walk into the office every day is the amazing people that I have the privilege to work with. Certainly the student athletes, but beyond that, the support staff, the coaches, and certainly administration. We're fortunate, you know, this year is year two of the stadium, but yeah, it was really our first off season in the new stadium. So I know for Buckeye fans that have experienced our new lacrosse venue, it's very exciting. You know, it's a bit of a labor of love for me personally over the years. It was always kind of a dream and a vision that we had. But it was something that we worked really hard to fundraise and to bring to fruition and open this time last year. And, you know, certainly credit to Dan Klorn, his staff, and Gene and Ginny Nolman and Rusilli, you name it. There's too many people to thank, the donors certainly first and foremost. But for us this summer, and certainly you feel it in the football season, you know, we're a team that's always used the football practice fields. They've been so good to us. We've been kind of a little brother for years under Coach Tressel, Coach Meyer, and certainly Coach Day. But to have a field in the off season that we could go out to, the men could come back and shoot on their own time, to have lines on it, and really to be able to recruit to it for the first time was a major step for the program and something that I think has gotten everybody excited. We've had a great preseason, I think very productive, and here we are ready to open up our season on Saturday here at home. So a lot to be excited about, and certainly, like I said, very thankful to be with you.
Coach, alumni-funded stadium, how difficult was that? How important was that? And I guess how does that tie into what you've done, what's been done before you, and what you hope to continue to accomplish with the alumni of your program right now?
Well, I appreciate you asking that. You know, I think, listen, it starts with a vision and a blueprint for success. And, you know, we've tried to build this thing for the long haul. And, you know, this is year 75 of Buckeye lacrosse. So I think that's where it's got to start. You know, 1949, I got a picture in my office of a group of men on the field in the shoe that really got this thing started. And there's been some ups and downs. You know, the scholarship era that a lot of people like to point to was in the late 90s when Coach Bresci arrived. But so many Buckeyes from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, keeping this program alive, navigating us through some ups and downs, to then that point where, you know, Mr. Geiger took the chance to really take the program to the next level. And, you know, I came in 2000, fall of 2001 as a volunteer. And, you know, Coach Bresci had really kind of gotten the program going at that point. And for me, it was learning from him before I came back and took over as leader in 2008. You know, we navigated, you know, several different leagues. We were in the Great Western Lacrosse League. Then we were in the ECAC. And then in 2015, bam, Big Ten Lacrosse came to fruition. And I give you that timeline because I think that's an important one for us. And when 2015 hit, you know, we started getting national TV exposure. We started to really elevate the schedule, and things started to really come together for us in terms of being able to bring in a different caliber of young man to our program and putting the program in a different space. You know, I think for us, you know, teams like Johns Hopkins and the Dukes of the world, the Blue Bloods and the College Across were always out in front. And when you start beating those teams and you beat those teams consistently, your alumni, your donors, they take notice. And we had some success and, you know, went to Mr. Smith with the idea of a home for men's lacrosse and women's lacrosse, you know, Buckeye lacrosse for that matter. And, you know, we had it all kind of lined up. And long story short, you know, we had the approval. We had the Board of Trustees and we were ready to break ground June of 2020. And, you know, the world stopped in March. And so the stadium was really threatened there. You know, we had everything on hold for about 6-7 months. And my concern was that we were going to lose it after all that hard work. But we didn't. We got through it. We went back to the drawing board. Of course, everything was 20-30% more than it was prior, so we had to do some more fundraising. But, you know, the designers, Rusilli, HOK, I had an opportunity to be really involved in the design and exactly what we wanted to create for our, for not only our student athletes, but for our fan base. You know, a really unique and intimate stadium that served the athletes as well as our fans. And we just, like I said, we rolled up the sleeves. We worked really hard in the fundraising efforts and the design to be creative to land where we did. And I think, you know, we had several sellouts last season. We hosted the PLL in June. And I think we got 9 home games, including the Big Ten Championships that will be hosted here in Columbus this spring, and a great slate of games. So it was a bit of a journey, but one that I'm just really thankful for. And I think it certainly resonates with not only your fan base, your alumni, but also young men that you're recruiting. It's a major statement of how much we care about men's and women's across here and the future of the program moving forward.
Can you talk about your partnership with the women's program and what they're doing and how you guys are making that work now at this beautiful facility?
Yeah, I think, you know, we like to say Buckeye lacrosse. You know,
right.
We try to stay away from the men's and the women's and just what we're doing together. This stadium certainly is a way of bringing the two programs together. The new leadership that we have over there is really exciting. You know, Amanda's going to do an outstanding job. Her and her staff have really energized, from what I can see, women, and I know they're excited and poised to have a great year. And yeah, as you said, I think partnership's a great word. You know, we work really hard together, whether it's working on our practice plans, our timing, recruiting, whatever it may be, that we can help and support each other. But certainly there's some real energy between the two programs as we start the season.
Hey, Buckeye fans, did you know the Kroger app will give you easy ways to access weekly sales, personalized coupons, and fuel points as well? Check out the app today and save while you get ready for game day. Kroger, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Nick Myers, the OSU men's lacrosse head coach, 21st year at the program, 16th year as the head coach, is our guest on the Buckeye 360. Nick, I'm an early 2000 graduate at Ohio State and lived with a number of your alumni in the Morrill Tower dorm my freshman year. Got to know, still friends with a number of them. Went to a number of lacrosse games. Then it was played, I guess, at the Woody Hayes facility outside there. The development and the growth of the sport, not only your sport, the women's sport, and lacrosse in Columbus. Can you put that into terms for us?
Yeah, well, great question, and certainly appreciate you mentioning some of the men that you had the opportunity to live with and experience, and it's been fun to see the program as it continues to grow to these different eras, and really how the Woody has changed. You know,
yeah.
That old North Turf Field that was outside the Woody Hayes is now our new Buckeye Field Hockey, and the Harmon Family Football Park has been established, but you know, the growth of the sport in Ohio is huge, and it really ties into our growth as well. You know, we have more young men from Ohio than any Division I roster. You know, it's absolutely a priority. It's where our recruiting always starts and a lot of times finishes. It's not necessarily where we want it to be yet, but I think, man, it's as close as it ever has been. You know, we're getting 2 or 3 guys every year out of the great state of Ohio that are difference makers. And at the same time, you know, taking a national approach to our recruiting, you know, we got 15 states and 2 provinces of Canada currently on our roster. And it's about recruiting the best. You know, that's to me what the brand calls for and the responsibility of the head coach of Ohio State. We're really proud. I mean, we just finished our 8th consecutive semester academically with a 3.5 or higher as a team of 50 guys. So when you're bringing in guys and they're doing the job in the classroom, we had 16 of 16 guys either in full-time jobs or grad school last year that expired eligibility. To me, these are benchmarks for success in terms of building a program and sustaining success long-term, both on and off. And, you know, I think the way the game has grown, the excitement level, the exposure, I mentioned television, through the Big Ten, being in the Big Ten, I think brings a lot of just awareness and excitement being in the league now that we, you know, that just started in 15. And yeah, I mean, I think you look at Cincinnati, you look at Cleveland, certainly here in Central Ohio, and even pockets in Toledo where the game has exploded. It's great. It's brought a lot of excitement to our games. It certainly helped with recruiting. And I think it's only going to continue to improve moving forward.
to that point, what are the next steps in taking another leap forward within your program, within the sport, Coach?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think for me, you know, we've really gone after it scheduling-wise. You know, the stadium was a step. Last year, we finished the season with the number one ranked strength of schedule in the country. So we've gone from like a top 15 strength of schedule to a top 3 or 4. You know, this year, the preseason poll, we play 6 of the top 7. We play 9 of the top 12 in the country on our schedule. You know, last year certainly didn't break our way. You look at our record, but we also didn't lose to a team that wasn't in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, I think that for us, it's that leveling up of, you know, we have a great facility. We certainly have incredible academics at campus. We're playing a top 5 schedule. So it's just continuing to level the recruiting and the player development to a place to where we can be a consistent, you know, top 10 team and competing for a Big Ten championship and national title.
Nick, you talked about getting into the Big Ten and that being a major step, not only for you and your program, but in the sport. So what are the differences in what you were doing previously in other leagues to where the Big Ten is now? And let me just interject, in that regard, we were doing baseball at Maryland a few years ago, and there's a baseball game going on, and the big noise across the way at the football stadium was the lacrosse game going on there. So just talk about, I guess, the fan bases for some of these other schools, maybe even some of the more Eastern schools, and how that's opened the fan base, not only for the sport, but for you guys here at Ohio State by being in this Big Ten.
Yeah, no, I think you make a great point. And I think that, you know, for those that aren't familiar with lacrosse, like we said earlier, it's growing like a weed here in Ohio, but a lot of the talent is still on that East Coast. It's still in your Baltimore, D.C., all the way up through Long Island and New England, upstate New York. And so I think when you add Maryland and Rutgers, you know, to the conference, you have the affiliate member in Hopkins. We played for a Big Ten championship the first year in 2015, lost to a good Hopkins team. And then 2 years later, you know, you play for the national championship. We go all the way to Monday and lose to a Maryland team 9-6 in a national title. And I think that was a major moment for the program, getting to the Final Four, playing on Monday. But the exposure's been amazing. You know, we were averaging maybe one TV a game in the 2000s, even in 2010, 11, 12, one, maybe two a year. And now you're looking at 7-8, you know, games a year being nationally televised on Big Ten Network, ESPN. So I think from a recruiting standpoint, you know, the brand, what we're doing, getting it out there. But for a young man in D.C. to know that he can come to Ohio State, play in the Big Ten, play the best schedule in the country, get it a first-class education, and get national exposure like you would if you went anywhere else, those are difference makers. They're big time. And I think that's what the Big Ten has really brought. You look at right now, I think it's the best conference of college across. It's the only conference that's sent every one of its members to the NCAA tournament the last 2 years, top to bottom. So I think you look at it, the team that was picked preseason last year actually won the Big Ten championship. So there's just, it's a dogfight. And then you add Virginia to your schedule, Cornell, Notre Dame, Denver. We open with nationally ranked Utah Saturday. It's just, it's exciting. It's daunting, but it's absolutely where we want to be as Buckeyes.
Nick, this year's team returns, as we are told, the entire starting defense and 3 of your top 5 scorers, and you've brought in a number of transfers as well. So can you talk about what you expect from this year's group?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we really like this group. You know, defensively, I think it's where you got to look to start. We will have a new face and goal, but we do have some guys in front of our goalie that I think is going to really help make a difference. You know, we had our first scrimmage Saturday, and I think was probably a nice step from where we had the inner squad the week before. So I think we're taking those incremental steps that you want to see in the preseason. Certainly it's about taxing your team, but also finding that balance of keeping them healthy as you head into the year. I do think faceoffs, you know, certainly were a concern with some of the injuries we had last year. I think we've addressed that. Excited with what that looks like right now in the wing play. And offensively, yeah, I mean, Jack Myers is one of the best offensive players to ever come through Ohio State. We had 5 years with Jack, and so I think our fans and certainly our team, it's going to have a different feel with Jack not being back there for the first time in a while since, you know, 2018. But we're sharing the load. I was really pleased with the offensive scoring on Saturday, just how diversified it was. We had, 10, 11 scores. So it's not going to be one guy. It's going to be a shared effort down there offensively. We got some new faces. We got some guys that return, as you stated. And it's just been a really fun group to coach. You know, I think one of the things I've enjoyed the most is how coachable this team is. We also have two assistant coaches that are new that have come back. They were both volunteers here, Justin Tuma from High Point and Andrew Vasa from Colgate, that have rejoined the staff, and they've brought a ton of energy alongside myself and Coach Crane, who's in his eighth year. So a lot to be excited about, and certainly a lot of work to be done. But I think our fans will like what they see Saturday, and it's a group that's just got to continue to chase their best a little bit each week. You know, that's the goal.
Your scrimmage, you faced Lafayette, and believe it or not, your brother was the head coach on the other sideline. What was that like for you? Because as I understand, in the past, you've coached a USA team together. What's it like coaching against your brother?
Yeah, I appreciate bringing out a couple of kids from Maine. You know, not exactly a lacrosse hotbed, but, you know, I'm here because of Pat. Pat was a Buckeye. He was part of the first scholarship class to ever come to Ohio State. In his senior year, they made the NCAA tournament. Just 4 years later, and I was a volunteer. And so we started together that way. And we've both had a passion for teaching and coaching. Parents are teachers back in Maine. And you know, he's landed in a head coaching role over there at Lafayette. And so, yeah, we've scrimmaged each other. He's got an assistant, Judd Hall, who's was on my staff for 4 years. Dad Clay Hall, as you know, big name here in town.
Sure.
You know, Casey Capino is another one of his assistants, is a Buckeye captain for us here. So there's a lot of crossover and just a group that you love to scrimmage, because I think you can trust, you know, you're going to get a great go. You can have conversation, you can make each other better. And I think that's exactly what happened on Saturday. You know, as far as the USA piece goes, yeah, I've been fortunate to coach Team USA twice at the U19 level. And in both instances, Pat was part of those coaching staff. So I think coaching with him is certainly more enjoyable than coaching against. But, you know, being part of the Team USA, you know, experience and having done that with him, and guys like Andrew Stimmel and Peter Toner, you know, just great people. Those were both great experiences and great memories made for sure.
Hey, Buckeye fans, whether you're stocking up for your tailgate party or just inviting a few friends over to watch the game, the Kroger app is an easy way to get all the great food and drinks for game day. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Nick, let's talk a bit about your tie. You mentioned the football staffs, a number of them here at Ohio State. How integral is Buckeye football in your program, following them, learning about them? I know often you'd walk into the Woody Hayes and there's the lacrosse corner as we walk into the atrium. What's that bond like in the relationship that you have with the coaches there on the football staff?
Well, yeah, I just... thankful would be the first word I come up with. I mean, I think I'm not sure what we would be, you know, they carried us through some challenging times, and I think they've just been open doors. And it started with Coach Tressel, really, you know, using their practice fields, playing in the shoe. You know, I think if you can remember starting the spring game, that first spring game we did was back in 2008, and we set the attendance record just over 30,000 people at halftime of our game. And those are moments that really still resonate with Buckeye fans. You know, there's fans that you run into that aren't lacrosse fans, but they've been to spring games. And they say, oh, yeah, I remember the spring game. So, you know, I think Coach Tressel having the wherewithal to see that, hey, he could really help a program and what he did. And then when Coach Meyer came in, he really just kind of picked up where he left off. I remember before I went into interview for the head coaching job, you know, going down to Coach Tressel's office and doing a dry run with him. And just the way he poured into me and the encouragement he gave me at that time at 28 years old, you know, I can't thank him enough for just what that did in terms of getting started and feeling like I was ready to take the next step as a head coach. But yeah, Coach Meyer was an incredible leader, again, helping us with the spring game, helping us, you know, we use their weight room. Coach Marathi's been always incredible with us down there, and no different with Coach Day. You know, we're right next to him. We kind of see him every day. You know, so there's certainly some energy there. But I think just having a group that's just always willing to help, I just feel like that the way they share the facilities, the way they work with teams, it's pretty special, you know. And I think that starts with Gene Smith and the leadership, but certainly the way that coaching staff is and their commitment to not only winning but also supporting Buckeyes is something that I've always really valued here at Ohio State.
A few more minutes with Nick Myers, the men's lacrosse coach at Ohio State, 21st year in the program, 16th year as the head coach. What about the last 5 years with COVID, with the rosters, with how that's affected lacrosse? And I guess if you could tie that into the transfer portal and now kind of how you're dealing with the number of people that you could have on a roster and year to year in that regard.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much time we have left.
Yeah, you got a few minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Listen, I would just say this. I would say that start the same place I did with the question about football. I'm grateful. You know, I work at the finest university in the country. And like I said, we got great leadership here. Miss Ullman, Gene Smith, I'm really looking forward to getting to know our new athletic director and new president. You know, having the opportunity to connect with other head coaches here and peers and learn from them. You know, Tommy had the big win Friday night over Team Up North. You look at what Kevin Birch and the volleyball team are doing right now, certainly women's ice hockey. There's just a ton of great energy, right, across the board. And it's one of the things I love about being a Buckeye. And I think that, you know, we all as a community navigated some of those really tricky waters. And those were some really hard times. But, you know, as Buckeyes, you come together and you learn, you adapt, you adjust, you grow. And I think that's one of the core values of this program is you embrace those tough moments and you kind of run right into them, you know, and I think that's what we've tried to do. We built the stadium through the pandemic, through COVID, you know, and we came out the other side. We've continued to just put the student athlete first and the relationships, their development, their experience is always paramount. And to me, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the community service, we're putting in 300-400 hours a year. You know, the GPA is over 3.5 now, if I think the fifth or sixth year in a row. And to me, the wins are there. I mean, you know, you're going to have your years. And I think what we want to do is create more consistency. We had the NCAA tournament appearance in 22, you know, the national championship appearance in 17. But I think it's the next step is now that we're out of some of that is navigating the portal. It's navigating NIL. It's making sure you stay true to your core values as a brotherhood. And at the same time, trying to compete to be one of the premier and best teams in the country and one of the toughest leagues in the country. And that's not always easy, you know, but you surround yourself with great people. You stay true, like I said, to who you are. And you continue to just keep chipping away at it. And I'm just really proud of the way we've been able to do that and looking forward to making Buckeye Nation proud on the lacrosse field this spring.
Nick, we'll leave it on this. I've ended every one of these asking the head coaches we talked to about the outgoing legacy of Gene Smith, who in this summer will hang him up. What's Gene meant to you, your program, and to Ohio State in your words?
He's very special. You know, I think I'll never forget that day in his office. I was 28 years old. I think it was the last candidate to interview. I was the internal candidate, and he brought me back into his office. And in fact, Marcus Freeman at the time was an intern for him, and it was me, Marcus Freeman, and Gene in his office, and he said, "You're my guy." And, you know, he didn't make an offer, didn't mention a number, just said, "You're my guy." We, you know, gave him a hug, and that was that. And I've always felt, you know, his loyalty to me, his belief in me has been incredible. It's always given me a ton of confidence. I think his leadership style, how collaborative he is, the vision that he has, the way he kept us informed, like as you said, through COVID, through the pandemic. I mean, his leadership through that was second to none. And you know, he's always a phone call away. You know, he's a text away, and he's always asking me about Julie. He's always asking me about my boys. He's always wanting to know how I'm doing. And that's just, to me, that goes a long way. You know, he's a man that I think has always prioritized the student athlete experience. What he's been able to do beyond the field, the Eugene Smith Leadership Institute, the opportunities that we provide our student athletes. I don't think that gets talked about enough. It's remarkable. And he's a special, special leader. You know, I've had the privilege of being with him, you know, like I said, almost 20 years and just to see the growth of Buckeye Nation, what's happened in that time span. We're going to really miss him. You know, him and Sheila are just amazing people. I certainly hope that he can enjoy some time and do some things that I know are on his bucket list and spend time with his grandchildren and family. But I think we'll be forever thankful as Buckeyes for what he's done and looking forward to what lies ahead, you know, with our new leadership and continuing to forge forward as Buckeyes.
Nick, to quote Gene, you're our guy. Thanks so much for your time. Have a great year, and we appreciate all of your hard work, efforts, and success you've had with the Buckeyes there.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Go Bucks. Thank you.